Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're joined in studio by a pair of guests from the Tuolumne County Community Resources Agency. We've been talking with Brian Bell, who is the Principal Plans Examiner, as well as Quincy Yaley, who is the Assistant CRA Director for Development. Quincy, next question I want to pose your way, the general plan update. I know there's been some recent community meetings, and that's getting closer to going to the Planning Commission. But first off, you can tell us a little bit about the general plan, what it is, and why it's important.
Sure. The general plan is a document that contains goals and policies about how a community will develop into the future. It also contains maps which show what parcels should have what type of development on that at a very high level. The general plan is often referred to as the constitution for a local government or local entity. It's required by state law that we have one. And it provides a common set of visions and policies so that current and future decision makers have sort of a touchstone when they're looking at a project of, well, does this project or does this decision, is it consistent with what the community wanted? And so the general plan is an expression of the future of an area, the future of Tuolumne County. It's a document that's updated about every 20 years, sometimes plus or minus. And we've been in this general plan review and update process for a number of years now. Like you said, just finished a public comment period on both the general plan and the companion environmental document, which is called an environmental impact report.
Finishing up the public comment period, was that a while ago that closed?
It closed last Thursday, and so it went through a required 45-day comment period on the environmental impact report. The general plan itself doesn't have a required comment period, and as such, our staff will be taking comments on the general plan up and until the final public hearing for that project. So if people missed the date last Thursday and still want to give us input, we're more than happy to take it. The EIR comment period technically did officially close, but we won't refuse anyone's comments. It's important that the decision makers have everyone's voices who want to give it in this process. So we will continue to take comments on that general plan up and until the final public hearing.
The EIR comment period, do you have a ballpark figure how many comments you received? Was it quite a few?
We received over 24, both from agencies, stakeholder groups, and individual property owners.
What were kind of the common concerns that were raised?
It was a variety. Some folks had, really parcel specific concerns about issues related to the development of their specific piece of property. Other comments then ranged up and into, the evaluation of impacts to wildlife habitat, impacts to water, impacts to our fire services and our emergency response services. And so it kind of goes from a very microscopic level up to a very macro level. We received comments both on the policies that are being proposed that are in the general plan document itself, as well as to the environmental impact report, which does the analysis of those policies. And so it spanned a wide range of issues. I'd say a lot of the comments were really focused on the general plan policies itself. And so that's something that we'll be reviewing with our staff, as well as with our Board of Supervisors ad hoc committee, to make sure that the board gets the input from the public and we can incorporate that as appropriate.
When you say general plan policies itself, what does that exactly mean?
Oh, gosh. So let's say we have a policy, that we want to cite recreational development, parks and such, we want to cite those near existing communities or something like that. And so someone could write in either in support or in opposition of that. And then we look at what that means. Is that a good planning principle? Is that a bad planning principle? And respond appropriately. So, sometimes there's just misconceptions about what the general plan means and what the general plan does. And we do get some of that in the comments from the public. And then that becomes our job to do to increase our education to make sure that everyone at least hears what the general plan does, what it doesn't do, so that they can have an informed decision, an informed opinion.
When you do these comment periods, you pretty much just hear the negatives that people have, or do you ever have comments that say, it's great, pass it, looks good?
There were a few cute babies in the responses. I think that was attributed to some of the legwork that both our current team that's working on the project, as well as previous teams that have worked on the project, the outreach that's been done. Sometimes silence also is, you know, is can be construed in certain ways. And so, you know, we didn't hear from some groups that we thought we would. And I think that I'm hoping that that is because of the legwork and the outreach that we did ahead of time. Of course, now that I've said that, I'm sure the comments from those groups will be flooding in, but we're more than happy to take them. And, you know, this is a community document. And so it's my job to make sure that all the decision makers have all of the information that we receive and that we can translate it in a way from the public into language that can then be used in the general plan or in the decision making process.
Can you talk a little bit about the population growth projections and how those tie into the general plan?
Yeah, so that was one of the comments that came in both on previous drafts of the general plan that have been out as well as this one. And you know, it's been in the newspaper as well, is that the general plan has a population projection of around 59,000 folks in Tuolumne County. And it's important to note that the general plan doesn't drive that development. It doesn't push that development. It doesn't force that level of development. All it simply does is say, hey, if development were to occur at a pace that would reach 59,000 people, the environmental impact report has done an analysis to ensure that we have an understanding of what those impacts would be. And so if development doesn't ever hit that target, no harm, no foul. We've at least covered the county and I mean the county physically, that we've covered the environmental impacts to the county up to that level. So anything short of that is fine. And there are certainly population projections out there that say the county will fall short of that number. Some say that we're declining. But when we put the general plan together, we don't just look at one source of data on population projection. We look at a number of sources and sort of mold that together with some land use planning modeling that we do to come up with this 59,000 number. And so we did get a lot of responses saying that, you know, there's no way the county will ever grow to 59,000 people. Well, that's fine. You know, the general plan doesn't say it has to. It just says that if it did, these would be the impacts, and this is the evaluation of those impacts.
I've heard a complaint made with the current general plan is that some things are confusing and they don't line up with different things in the plan. Is this new plan designed to be, you know, as easy to read as possible?
Well, that's one of the things the thing that I was charged with was to improve the readability of the document. And so we spent a lot of time not just with reformatting the document, but also looking at the language and improving the clarity of the language, reducing inconsistencies. And we did reorganize the document. One of the things we did not do was take out entire platforms, policies, or programs that had been in the 2015 draft, because those had all been developed through community meetings. And it wouldn't have been appropriate for our staff just to sort of pick and choose what we wanted to leave in and what we wanted to take out without going back through the public process. I will say that we did get some comments in on the general plan from folks who knew it very well, which I thought was great, because that means maybe we were successful in making the document more readable, that people who knew it really well were able to comment on it. And maybe it was clear what the general plan was trying to accomplish, right or wrong, or whether they supported that or not. At least the general plan was clear on what it was trying to do.
So now that the community meetings are over, the comment period for the ERIR has passed, you know, where do things go now when it comes to the Planning Commission?
So we're working right now with our various consultants to do a review of those comments that came in and then figure out what changes need to be made, if any, how we respond to them. It's important not just to ignore what we can't ask for comments and then not respond to them. So all the comments that will come in will get a response and will be passed on to the decision makers. As for a date for public hearings, I'll be updating you as well as the public with those when I have them. Right now we're looking at the end of November to mid-December. The Board of Supervisors is interested on taking this project forward prior to the end of this year. This board has been working on the project for, oh my gosh, nearly 5 years or so. And so I think they have a vested interest in seeing it through to the end. But depending on when we get into the comments, into the nitty-gritty of it, it's possible that things could get pushed.
And then for people who have never been to a government meeting, there's going to be a public comment period as well where anybody can go up and give their opinions?
That's right. So the Planning Commission meeting and the Board of Supervisor meetings will both have an opportunity for public comment. And so folks can come to the podium and they can state their concerns, state their issues, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. And all of that then gets digested by both the decision makers and the staff at those meetings. For people who are not interested in standing up at the microphone, we will still continue to take written comments. I know that it can be intimidating to have to stand up in front of a room full of people. So I want to encourage people just to reach out to us in whatever way they're comfortable. The Planning Commission meeting is held at night, and I will provide dates and times for that. The Board of Supervisors, they really want to make the meeting at a time that's accessible to more people. So we are looking at holding that meeting in the afternoon and into the evenings so that we can accommodate more members of the public who may have work constraints during the day.
We've hit on a number of topics. We have about one more minute left. Brian Bell, any closing comments or things we didn't address yet?
Well, BG, one thing I would like to offer is that we facilitated a new process offering building plan review services to various developers in the area. And in that process, we schedule on Wednesdays by appointment a review of minor projects such as decks, accessory structures, garages, things of that nature. And I encourage everyone to take advantage of that process. It has been very successful, and we've had a lot of great feedback from our development community on providing that service. And I would just like to throw that out there.
Very good. And Quincy Ailey, closing comments?
I just want to thank you. And also just want to thank our staff, you know, on all floors of our CRA building, both our public works side and our development side. You have staff members who are doing amazing work at all levels, from answering the phone to doing engineering drawings to, doing road work and improving our roads. So I just really want to take a time to thank our staff for all the hard work that they've done and that they continue to do every day.
Here we want to thank our guests, CRA Assistant Director of Development Quincy Ailey, as well as Brian Bell, Principal Plans Examiner. I'm PGA Hansen. I was your host. We'll be back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.